All right, well, oftentimes on the day we have the congregational meeting, the sermon will be short, but kind of a pointed pep talk about church commitment, covering the usual subjects, faithful and regular attendance, stepping it up in areas of serving, not neglecting financial support, willingness to volunteer for this and that, and so on. Could you turn me down just a little bit, Chad? And these sorts of exhortations, of course, from time to time serve as good reminders for all of us. But this year, I thought I would do something a little different. I believe it would serve us well to hear the other side to all of that, which we have never done. There is, after all, two sides to everything. And so in the interest of fairness to all positions and viewpoints, I will offer some counter arguments to these expectations that admittedly I and others here have in the past imposed upon our members. And there may be actually some good reasons why locking into one particular church and attending it faithfully and regularly and getting involved in serving and so forth may not apply to everyone or to everyone all the time. For instance, regarding attending every single week, well, some things are obvious. Situations do come up, like sickness and vacation and work schedules and surgeries and get stuck in a snowdrift and so on. And we all understand that, right? But perhaps we have been too quick to dismiss other reasons that could be just as valid. Sunday morning comes around, and the first thing in the morning when you wake up is, oh, man, do I have to go to church today? I mean, it happens to me every week. Right? Well, the question is, or maybe not. Here's one I've heard quite a bit through the years from a number of people. I'm just not feeling it like I used to, which means I'm going to step back a little bit, which ultimately means I'm thinking maybe about leaving, which, okay, maybe it's okay to step back. Maybe it's okay to drop in just once in a while or stop coming altogether, maybe. We all know people who, whether they come here or elsewhere, are minimally involved in their church. And we all know people, confessing believers, who have no church home whatsoever. So instead of discouraging that sort of thing, maybe we should be more open to it, maybe even encourage it. So during my 20 years here, I've strongly advocated for one position when it comes to church involvement: step up. Today, I'm going to consider the other side, the one that says step back. I have 10 good reasons to step back. And if needed, they could probably serve as good reasons to step away, you know, step out, quit church altogether. All right, so are you ready for this?
No.
This is a dangerous sermon, and it may end up with nobody being here next Sunday for several reasons.
All right.
10 of them. All right, you don't need to go to church to worship God, number one. I mean, you can do that anywhere. You can find a quiet place at home. Your Bible is the only sermon you need. You can sing, pray, commune with God one-on-one. In fact, it could be a walk through the park or in a woods, enjoying, soaking in the beauty of God's creation, or for that matter, on a golf course. If you crave something a bit more churchy, you can watch a church service on television from the comfort of your favorite chair or from the comfort of your bed. The point is, there are options. Many years, I would skip church to go on a bike ride. I would feel, you know, I feel close to God when I'm on a bicycle. In fact, I usually feel closer to him when I'm on a bike than when I am at church, all right? Especially when a crazy motorist whizzes by me inches away at 80 miles an hour. Lots of praying going on. All right. Number two, in a similar way, you don't have to lock yourself into one particular church. If you are a believer, you belong to the church universal. You should have the freedom to move around and change things up now and then. When you go out to eat, you don't always go to the same restaurant, do you? I mean, not Taco Bell again. How about Wendy's this time? So in the same way, why do we have to get stuck with the same church week after week after week? Number three. Let's face it, oftentimes when you come to church, you don't get anything out of it. And if you don't get anything out of it, then why fuss with it? I mean, that time could be better spent. And so it would serve you well to run through certain questions through your mind to help you decide that morning. Who is leading the music? Who are the singers? Who's giving the sermon? What will the sermon be about? Is there a series that we're in? What's going on there? Will some of my favorite people that I would really like to see, will they be there today? Anything fun or special going on? Now, some of those questions can actually be answered by looking at the calendar on our bulletin board. The point is, if you have reasons to suspect that the experience will be less than what you're hoping for or need or want, then why bother? Can I get an amen on that one? Number four. He's up to no good. He's up to no good. I'm not up to no good. I'm just laying this stuff out. Number four. Why come to church since you can watch the whole thing on your computer or phone? We stream it for those who are sick at home, laid up in the hospital, or are on vacation in Florida, or who have slid off the road and stuck in a ditch. Then you're waiting for trip away, you pull up the phone, you watch it live. But there's no reason we have to limit our streaming to just those situations. If it is there, use it. Number five, and this one's a little awkward, but we shouldn't avoid it. People in the church don't always take the initiative in reaching out to others. It is possible to go through a whole Sunday morning and not have that many come up to you and ask how you are doing. You have needs. You are struggling. People should stop and notice and care. People should give you their undivided attention and lots of it. And so what's the point if you come with needs and leave with those same needs unmet? Number six, this leads us to one that's a bit more severe. You ever been hurt by a church? Never had a bad experience with the pastor or the elders? Even if the experience is not all that horrific, ever been irritated? Terry struggles with this one every Sunday. She's irritated with the pastor, not just Sundays, I'll have you know. So, who hasn't, at least at one time, not been irritated, you know? Now, this is a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hands. So, how can you expect to be uplifted, inspired, motivated, encouraged, enriched, stimulated, moved, did I say uplifted, if you are put off by any or all of the elders or the pastor? I mean, maybe you need a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years. Number seven, sermons. This is a great reason to stay home. Sometimes they're too cerebral. Some other times they're too shallow. Sometimes they strike too close to home. Other times they don't seem relevant at all. Too many stories and personal anecdotes. Not enough stories and personal anecdotes. Too political. Not political enough. Too boring. Not boring enough. And given all the different people who share in the giving of the sermons, one never knows what to expect. And so with hundreds of thousands of sermons available on the internet, not only can you pick your favorite speaker, but also your favorite subject. So if you're coming to church for the sermon, well, you can do better elsewhere. Number eight, another reason is something we could call unforgivable mishaps. And this is kind of a catch-all category dealing with problems from that you experienced from previous Sundays. And some of these are not just mishaps, but actual offenses. You need to kind of take some time, gather your thoughts, replay those scenarios in your mind so as to figure out both your attitude and your response about all that. And all sorts of things could play into this. Your kids got picked on by other kids. Your prayer request didn't get prayed for. You were teased during the announcement time. Your birthday didn't get announced. A Sunday school teacher told you that your child was distracting during class. How dare they? You know, they ran out of coffee before you got there that morning. The church was cold. Wendell crabbed at you for spilling the coffee. Wendell crabbed at you for tracking snow into the church. Wendell crabbed at you for being late. You know, I mean, if you went to a public business in town, a bank, a restaurant, a retail store, anything, and you had a bad experience, you probably would not go back. Why is the church any different? Number nine, this next one deserves more time than what I can give it, as a lot could really be said about it. But it could be that you are now ready for, trying to keep a straight face. It could be that you are now ready for a new season of life. This new season might require a number of transitions, including church involvement. You need to read the signs. What is your heart saying? Sometimes you have to... I can't get through this. Sometimes you have to break the chains of obligations and these expectations that are imposed upon us and all this accountability and whatnot and soar on eagle's wings. Institutionalized Christianity, the church, and even other Christians can actually be a distraction to one's walk with Jesus. The remedy could be anything from stepping back a little bit to stepping away altogether. And finally, one that is quite obvious but still needs to be spelled out, number 10, on any given Sunday, it could be that you are simply not in the mood. Maybe you are tired. Maybe you'd rather do something else. Maybe the weather is too nice to sit inside a stuffy church. Maybe you got into a fight with your spouse and the kids are acting up. I like to see a statistic on this. There probably isn't one, but I'm quite confident that it would show that the time of the week when arguments between couples are most likely to happen and when kids are most likely to act up is when? Sunday morning when getting ready for church or during the drive-in. whatever the case, no one should be expected to do anything they don't really feel like doing. Can I get another amen on that one? All right. All right. So, you guys are so... It's not a trap. Don't spoil my fun, all right? There are other reasons, but these capture the ones that I would find to be the most compelling. Another one is that it can be, of course, a great bother, especially if you have kids trying to get them ready or you get a long drive in or it's raining outside, that kind of stuff. You know, but just because it's bothersome doesn't mean that it's a good excuse. All right. So we have at least 10 really good reasons to step back, to pull away. These are reasons that I have in years past have used and would actually use more often, but I can't because this is my job. I got to be here. But 10 good reasons to pull back. One good reason not to. Probably more than one, but for today I'll mention just one. And actually the reason can be stated with the very simple drawing, one that I used in my last sermon. And if you were here, this should look familiar and you know what it means. It pretty much comes down to what you think a church is and what the gathering on Sunday mornings is all about. If you see the church as something that you expect to receive something from, and that is why you come, then any of the 10 reasons I just offered would be totally legitimate. And they each play into what I want and what I expect. If, however, you see church differently as an opportunity, not so much to receive, but to give of yourself so as to serve and minister to others as a time to build others up, then none of those 10 reasons would be, well, I suppose they wouldn't even cross your mind. You know, our culture has, of course, conditioned us to be consumers. Everywhere we go, we are coddled and pampered and assured that we can have it our own way. And this is how, unfortunately, many of us approach church as consumers. It is about me, my needs, my wants, my desires, my expectations, when it really should be about us, all of us serving and helping and ministering to each other. Anytime we gather, whether it's Sunday mornings or other times, should be seen as a really as a special and privileged opportunity to enjoy each other, serve each other, what we call community. And this, of course, serves as a picture of the interpersonal relationships within the triune God. So we talked about in previous weeks. Spirit-filled believers building each other up. What a picture. There is that in the formal service itself, the songs, prayer, sermons, and so on, but it is also in the informal as well, the engaging of each other beforehand and afterwards and through the week. Though more organic, it still needs to be intentional. One view of church sees it more or less like a business that provides a service. And this is pretty much the traditional view, one that I and many of you grew up with. The Sunday service is something like a presentation or a performance. It's kind of designed to make the audience feel a certain way. And the minister is the one who Well, ministers, on Sunday morning to the whole group and through the week to individuals. That's why he's called a minister. The other view of church sees it as a family of fellow brothers and sisters who are bonded together in Christ, giving, receiving, sharing, exchanging acts of love and service to, with, and for each other. A family replicating the love of the Trinity in their relationships with each other and with outsiders. A family knit together in unity, having equal concern for each other, who are all functioning as ministers. And in so doing, the church family is actually showing the world what the new creation will one day look like. Mutual edification and every member ministry where everyone is faithfully contributing. And this is, after all, the picture we are given in the New Testament. And it is a beautiful picture. It really is. With this view of church, well, those who approach it as a consumer, they're going to be disappointed. If it is all about what can I get out of it, then inevitably you're going to leave unhappy for many reasons. Now, nothing I'm saying here should be, just on a side note here, interpreted as though one can't change churches. It's not my point. That's a whole other subject. But if a change is being considered, then I would think it would come down to why. It should not be to escape what you see on the slide behind me. And we have had some of that in the past. Whatever church you become a part of, you know, put your oar in the water and serve. Be an active player, not a consumer, both formally and informally. So we'll pick this up again, the whole subject here, next Sunday. And a lot of this, of course, that we're talking about has to do with our philosophy of church. And so it's important to kind of review this stuff every now and then. For today, I just want to leave you with some select scriptures that speak to this concept that a church is an every member ministry. And they will help set things up for next Sunday. And we'll just read through them now without really commenting on them and let them speak for themselves. So if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to follow along with me. These are the passages that we'll be reading through. Otherwise, you can just kind of listen intently if you would. And I would expect that these are all familiar passages. They are ones that we have referred to in years past oftentimes. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I love those words. As each part does its work. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Romans 12, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Belongs to all the others. What an expression. Back to Ephesians, first seven verses of chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of us all, who is over all and through us and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Every member of ministry. Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. 1 Corinthians 12:4-27, we have really a whole chapter devoted to this very theme. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, as he distributes them to each one as he determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the body, but its parts should have, I love these words, equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. The Lord's praying there in probably in Gethsemane here, the night before his arrest. He's praying to the Father about his relationship, and we have a couple verses here. They're quite rich toward the end of that prayer. I have given them, referring to believers, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And finally in Ephesians, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. May God bless the reading of his holy, infallible, and life-giving word. And on that, can I get a genuine amen on those verses?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to take a short break. We're going to resume in about probably right at 11 o'clock there. And for our congregational meeting, again, if you're not a member, you're certainly welcome to stay. And if you are a member, we encourage you to stay. And these meetings, if you've been here a while, you know that we usually don't have too many I always make this joke. It's getting kind of old, I know, year after year. But you're going to be disappointed if you're looking for that kind of animated fighting going on about stuff. These things tend to be pretty low-key. So we do have obviously a lot of information that we want to share with you. It's mostly about the finances, but we'll also hear from Dave and Tom and Josh Miles as well. So at this time, you are dismissed, and we'll resume at 11 o'clock.